This is the Rising Tide Startups Podcast, where we chat with startup founders from all over the globe to help you escape the cubicle and begin your own startup journey. Make sure you take notes. Every episode of Rising Tide Startups is sponsored by Podbrand Media. Let Podbrand create and host your company-branded podcast. Learn more at podbrandmedia.com. This is Kevin Pruitt with the Rising Tide Startups Podcast, and my special guest today is Micah Bromowitz. Mike, thanks for joining us on Rising Tide.
Yeah, excited to be here. Thanks, Kevin.
So we just had this conversation about how to pronounce your last name because there's multiple variations, and right in the middle, my brain froze, and I'm thinking, how do I say this poor man's name? So would you please clarify that for our listening audience?
Abramowitz, Mike Abramowitz.
I love it. I love it. So if you and I met at a networking event, how would you introduce yourself to me?
I would say that I help high earners that are not time rich yet, also known as a Henry. I help them, especially if they have a family and they have a business. I help them put systems into their life and into their business so they could buy back time, so they could reinvest that time into high value activities that matter most to them.
So there's no absolutes, but almost every time that I chat with people on the podcast, a lot of times that the things that they built have been out of necessity, out of their own, you know, they were scratching their own itch. So is this just kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy that you said, you know, I needed to do this, I figured it out, and other people wanted me to share it with them?
That's pretty accurate. I mean, I'll tell you the origin story if that's
sure,
cool. And
absolutely.
Then we could go whatever direction that makes sense. So I started in sales with Cutco kitchen knives when I was 18 years old. I was a college student over at the University of South Florida. So I started selling Cutco. And when I graduated college, I paid my way through school. I earned a good amount of money. And then I also invested into real estate. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, a part of a leadership program. So I had three rental properties by the time I graduated college. And when I graduated, I got a career position within Cutco to become a sales manager. So I advanced into sales management with the company. So my early 20s, my goal was to retire at 40, you know, like that was like the mission, like, let me make as much money as possible. Let me just work my tail off. So that's what I saw my dad do. My dad owns a plumbing business, works 6 days a week. And my goal was to work really hard, so that way when I had a family, I could maybe be a little bit more present. Not that dad wasn't present, but you know, he worked 6 days a week. He missed a lot of basketball games growing up. So this was kind of the MO that I had. But then the market collapsed. So market collapsed 2008. I lost my rental properties. I was negative $130,000. I was a 400 credit score.
Wow.
I was near bankrupt. So I call it the valley of my 20s. Like, it was a really tough time. So that whole time of me being a business owner, as I was in direct sales and sales management, was to work as hard as possible to recoup the loss and grind and work. But it compromised like relationships. I had, you know, bad health habits and whatnot. And it kind of shifted circa about 2012 when I went to my first Tony Robbins event. I walked across fire for those that are Tony Robbins fans, but walked across fire. I'm now a 7-time fire walker. At that event, he said, my mess is my message. So what I did is I said, okay, the valley of my 20s of everything that I learned, let me turn that into a message. So I spoke that year for 300 hours. I spoke at the schools in Pinellas County, Florida, where I was living, and just crafting my message, which turned out to be my first book, Grab Tomorrow, Your Best Year Ever. And that hit number one on the Amazon bestseller list. I started a nonprofit and a local charity to feed the homeless based on that. We ended up providing 100,000 sandwiches to less fortunate. I had 9 books in the series I ended up launching. But the challenge with this whole business that I started was, now I had my direct sales business call my attention. And now I was speaking and doing book signings and writing the books and everything. I still had no time. So I hired a business coach. And 2016 or so, I hired a business coach. And I fell in love with a girl that I'm now married to. And I said, I want to make sure that I can be a family man with a business, not a businessman with a family. So we started figuring out, how can I corporatize my business operations? He helped scale a company in India from 6 million to 30 million and had a team of 1,400 people. So he was taking this back to teach small business owners how to corporatize their business. And I was his first client. So he showed me how to do that. And we fast forward 2017, 18, 19, my business started running and we started performing at a high level. 2020, COVID hits, boom, all systems go. I was able to like just really figure out how can I remove myself. I was putting in like offshore virtual assistants into my business, a lot of automation and some just like different technologies to help free up some time. We could get at whatever specifics make sense, but it was incredible. I mean, we provided over 1,000 jobs. We did over almost $2.5 million in sales that year and just absolutely crushed it. And then my son was born December 31st, 2020, New Year's Eve. But Kevin, I don't know if you know this or not, but I share this on a lot of episodes. My son was born at 26 weeks. So he was born at 1 pound, 4 ounces. So we did not know that we were about to enter into a season of uncertainty, but we were in the hospital with him for 8.5 months. So during that 254 days, all those systems that I put in my business was able to run without me and still produce a quarter million in revenue and six figures in profits without me there. So when we got out of the hospital, I called my business coach, September 10th, 2021. I said, "Do you think we could teach other people how to do this? I mean, if I didn't do all the these business systems and stuff, like I don't know what we would have done." He said, "Let's find out." And that was the birthplace of what I'm doing now. So from your question of how did I get to what I'm doing right now, it's really came from the circumstance. So now we've partnered up, we've helped in hundreds of people be able to win back and buy back time from their business by leveraging virtual assistants and technology, and now with AI has been really helpful. So that's essentially what we've been doing. And it's been truly fulfilling to help this avatar and help this audience. So I actually retired from my Cutco operation after 20 years just to really aggressively pursue this audience and help them as much as I can.
So in that 5 minutes or whatever that you were sharing, there's a lot of years in that gap. So fill in the blank between I started at Cutco and kind of went into the corporate side as sales manager, whatever, till now, till hiring, or putting into, I guess putting in place, you said over 1,000 employees, kind of during COVID. So what caused that? I mean, they're not all selling Cutco knives. They're certainly not selling them virtually. So what are the other businesses that you had in place, or were you outsourcing these to other businesses? Did you have a VA agency? What's kind of the structure behind all that?
Believe it or not, all 1,000 of those people were selling Cutco knives. So I recruited for my office, but also I had five other offices. So we had like you could call it like franchise or whatever. So five organizations provided about 1,000 jobs during 2020, and then we did have an offshore virtual assistant team of maybe a dozen or dozen and a half, somewhere in that range, like just staffing. But yeah, I mean, we definitely during 2020, we
It's
were on a
crazy.
mission for sure. So I just want to make sure I add value to really the question that we're asking is it how to add that many positions, or is it to like if you just want to
I
make
mean,
sure
yeah, no, I was
I
filling the
just
blanks there. I mean, you went from I'm selling knives to we hired 1,000 people. I'm thinking, was during COVID,
Got
a
it.
lot of it was like remote work. It was
Correct,
it
correct.
was
Yeah,
virtual. So
it was. Yeah, we, but that's the thing. That was part of the systems that my business coach and I worked out is for those that understand the direct sales model with Cutco, it predominantly is we sit at the kitchen table and do an in-home presentation. Well, COVID, that wasn't the case, but in like 2017, I was pioneering an online demonstration to do the appointment over Zoom. And then predominantly when we would recruit these people to sell Cutco, they would come into our office and we would do an evaluation and a recruiting class to figure out who we're going to, spend 3 days of training with. And the training seminar was in our office. So there was like a lot of demonstration, a lot of like that type of recruiting and training and education. We went and shifted all that to like a systematic, a lot of video and a lot of online and Zoom. So we were doing that before COVID hit. So when COVID hit, I was able to just plug and play. Why was I doing that, Kevin? Is because I wanted to work from home. I didn't want to work in an office. I didn't want to have to work long hours and do these long, long days of recruiting and interviewing and training. So that's why we put a lot of this infrastructure where I could facilitate trainings or meetings, or I could put staff in place to act as me and do things for me, that so it doesn't have to be done by me. So it challenged me to simplify the process. Think about it. The founder of McDonald's and the owners of McDonald's and the executives of McDonald's aren't the ones making French fries. They had to design the system so that way a lower wage worker can do the French fries. The owner doesn't have to do the French fries. So anybody that's listening to this says, well, that would be great to be an owner, but like I'm over here making the French fries. It starts by thinking differently. The person who's making the French fries is might be worth $15 an hour, but the person who's designing the system where the person who's making the French fries lives, they're probably making $500 an hour. So we got to start thinking different about our time and the value that we're bringing to our time. And that's like partially what my business coach really helped me with.
How do you to help somebody from that $15 an hour gig to the $500 an hour gig? Because often it you heard the adage that says it takes money to make money. You have to have margin to be able to test. If you're going to bring on VAs, it's good to have a little margin. So if it doesn't work out, you have a little cushion there versus, man, I'm bootstrapping this and everything's got to work or nothing's going to. So how do you coach someone early in the journey on that?
So we were running a glorified startup when I said, let's find, when my business partner and I started. I mean, we didn't have an entity. Like it was just like, let's find out what the marketplace needs and wants. I mean, just to take it through this place, I was doing what I was doing, he was doing what he was doing. And then we collectively said, let's see if we can connect on something to add value. So we started with an event. So we put in an event and said, let's push out this event and market it and see how we could capture attention in the marketplace. And it was a high ticket offer, call it a $5,000 type of event. And we wanted to have 20 people at this space that would be willing to spend 3 days with us for us to help them with fill in the blank. The first event we did was in Mexico and was all about discovering your purpose. We thought the marketplace wanted to hear from us about how to get into the fulfillment pieces of life, hence the title of our company, Better Than Rich. So it was like the fulfillment aspect. You've already made a lot of the money. Now that you have the money, now you have time freedom. What do you do with that time? So it was a lot of introspective work. From there, wow, everyone had an unbelievable experience. But now they were given the feedback that we got from that event was, I got to go back into my business to make money and get time freedom so I could actually enjoy this the fruits and the fulfillment. So we said, all right, let's put on another event centered
Let's back
around
it up one stage.
business systems to help you get time freedom. And that's what we did. So the first one we did in November, and then the next one we did in March. And the March event was the same thing. Let's fill up the space. There was only maybe four people, maybe five, that were the same people that came to both events. We did the event. At that event, they were blown away. They're like, wow. Day three of that event, I launched. I said, if I let my virtual assistant team, like I had my own team, 12, 13 people. I said, if I let my team do work for you as a beta test, would any of you be willing to test this out to see if I can scale a virtual assistant agency where like my team that's doing work for me can also do work for you as clients? I said, I'll do this with five people. Out of the 20, 10 of them raised their hand. I was like, all right, I'll do it with 10 of you. From those 10 in March of 2022, we were very much doing a beta test. It's like, let's find out, can my team of virtual assistants execute for me, but also execute for these clients as well? 6 months of testing. It's like, wow, this is working. So we really figured out, okay, that was working. And then we figured out what is the education that we could provide to people. Well, let's survey the marketplace. We did a bunch of free workshops, filled up the space with as many people as possible, a bunch of free workshops, 1 hour workshops, messages that it would deliver, podcast interview, whatever, have us speak, just adding value, figuring out what does the marketplace want. From there, it was like, we want to learn how to buy back our time. So Dan Martell's book, his book, Buy Back Your Time, ended up kind of being a playbook for me. I was already doing a lot of this stuff, but he already had a lot of these frameworks that I was implementing. So it was like, cool, let's like leverage his content and build a lot of what we're doing based on automation and delegation and systems. That's what we did. We added to the marketplace. We created an offer. We did a mini course, 5 days with us, low ticket, $29. It's like, let's see how many people will sign up. We had 108 people join us. Out of those 108 people, on the back end, we gave them 2 free calls. We gave them all this content, all these courses, like our best content, our best information. What we had people pay us $5,000 for in those the small immersive event. Yeah. We packaged it up, simplify it into a mini course. And from there, 108 people signed up. We had a couple of VIP offers. Mm-hmm. And on the back end, we had 30 of them sign up for our high ticket coaching program, our educational pillar, which is called Operator to Owner. And that was our footing going into 2023, this last year, mm-hmm. 2023. And from there, between the virtual assistant agency services that we have and mm-hmm. now the educational pillar, we've helped hundreds of people in 2023. And we created over $600,000 in revenue for our company as a startup. Now this year we're building on scaling to 7 figures, but this is like the origin. I mean, we started right. with, let's test the marketplace. Let's see what the marketplace needs. Do they want purpose-driven content? That's not the case. Let's pivot. Business systems content.
Yeah.
We figured out great education is important, but integration is more important. So we had right. to figure out how could we build a curriculum that's based on integration and implementation, not just ideas and education. So it's like a lot of pivoting, trial and error, figuring things out. But that's the game. I mean, it is yeah. literally a game of business, and it is a lot of fun to do. However, from what you said, somebody that's sitting at their desk saying, well, I'm doing $15 an hour work. How do I get to this point? It takes a lot of money. We accumulated zero debt. It was all built under the umbrella of sweat equity of saying,
yeah.
how could we build something that adds value to the marketplace, solve those problems, and have people pay us to solve those problems for them? So you could legitimately have zero, nothing right now, say, build a community of people that center around a problem that you're trying to solve and have some sort of free way that you're adding value to help mm-hmm. them solve that problem. Then maybe a low ticket way to solve that problem and then a higher ticket way to solve that problem. Right. And you can build a really fruitful operation for yourself. And then maybe you want to scale it from there. And that's where we're at. We're now starting to scale. Mm-hmm. We have a team of 35 people. We're building this company after what was an idea September 10th, 2021, when I got right. out of the hospital and said, do you think we could teach people how to do this?
And now here's a quick word from one of our new sponsors on Rising Tide Startups.
At Navicus, we know you spend far too much time on administrative tasks. Let us take those off your plate so you can focus on the highest value activities in your business. We have highly trained, highly vetted specialists ready to take on those administrative responsibilities at an affordable and effective rate. Check us out at navicus.com, proud sponsor of Rising Tide Startups podcast. In the VA space, when you did your beta test or whatever with your first 10, was this one of those things you said, okay, we're going to fund this. We want to use you all as guinea pigs type to see if this is going to work, or are they paying for the services at that time? Or
yeah, they were paying a little bit more than what I was paying them. Mm-hmm. So a little bit more than what I was paying my team, they were giving a little bit more than that.
Yep.
So just so that way there was a little bit extra room for, you know, marginal error just right. in case, but it was still
covering the cost.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
That was part of the agreement is like, listen, you could use my team, but understand I'm already taking away the interviewing, hiring and training and vetting mm-hmm. and qualifying
no
out of the
it.
Equation. So if yep. you want to go to Fiverr or Upwork, or if you want to go to Indeed yep. or you want to go find your own virtual assistants, by all means,
yep.
but I already did all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just want to see if I can have my team execute for other people, not mm-hmm. just me. Am I like the genius behind this, or can they actually do work and deliver work for other people?
Right.
And that's what, again, the phrase, let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of the birthplace of that. Let's find out. And we found out a lot. And that's why they were our test geniuses. If mm-hmm. that beta audience, we didn't mess up a ton with those test geniuses, we wouldn't have 65 clients using our AI powered virtual assistant team now, where we actually mm-hmm. have an offer and we actually have a pillar of our company fully dialed in. I mean, everything from video editing to the social media campaign and marketing, inbox management, calendar management. I mean, the whole works, at all administrative tasks. That's what our team is able to do now for our clients. Yep. And it's an extremely valuable offer to the marketplace for someone who's busy, who doesn't want to go interview, hire, and train and find qualified team. It's like, we have a one-stop shop for you. You just want to use our team? Great. Right. Well, you can use our team for a fee and you'll get a certain amount of hours every month, depending on whatever subscription you want to sign up for. And that was the birthplace, but it came from an idea of let's see if this could work. And then we found out, man, this really could work. So it's really been fruitful for a lot of people.
I love the way you framed that. As in your offer, you said you can use my team, because that's a whole different animal than saying, you know, I found these VAs that I'm just trying to farm out somewhere. You know, we got a service we're providing for you type thing. So
no, I think they all do this work for, they're doing work for me. Like the same people. So the same people that our clients use, they're doing stuff for me as well. Mm-hmm. So that's how we know they're trained on how to do stuff for everyone else. Like they at some point in time have done work internally for us. And now we allow them, not allow them, but they do work for our clients. Mm-hmm. And that way that we know that they're good. So we put them through our interviewing process and making sure they're qualified and capable and competent. And, you know, we already did all that stuff. That's part of why it's a value add to the marketplace. You know, you're paying a premium, a little bit of more of a premium for the service, but we took all of the hard part of attracting and hiring and training and retaining and all of that stuff. We took that out of it for you as a client, as a user.
That is, and that's gold, because it is such a long, arduous process, and to, you know, to build trust and have a track record and fully vet, you know, a V8 or a virtual specialist, whatever you want to call them. So, you know, they're able to deliver, you know, on the promise that you make. So I've got a question I want to ask you that this is interesting, because listening to your story, I mean, I think it's very appropriate, you know, very apropos to your history, but I have a theory about entrepreneurs versus just business owners. My theory is that there is actually a genetic disposition to be an entrepreneur. And I'm listening to your story and, you know, just kind of the ins and outs and the ups and downs and the roller coaster rides and the fact that you're willing to jump back on that horse. Talk about nature or nurture, you know, I think that entrepreneurs have some genetic coding in them that causes them, you know, you've heard the adage that, you know, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail, you know, you know, would you say that you had a genetic disposition toward entrepreneurship?
It's a good question. And I don't know if I have I don't know if this is going to be the answer that you're necessarily seeking, but here's what I would say is I was raised in an environment where I was raised to spot opportunities. And if there was a way for me to add value into those opportunities, then I should pursue it. And that opportunity didn't necessarily just mean business, because my mom was, she took care of us. She had six kids, and my dad had a couple from his previous marriage too. So I'm the youngest of eight. So lots of family. Every one of our friends, every sibling had a friend that had a broken home. And my mom let one of those kids live with us for an extended period of time as an example. If there was a pet, an animal that was like an abandoned animal, we had like tons of cats and dogs in our house, like crazy. Like that was our crazy house. So I witnessed my mom being like almost like the servant to humanity and pets. And that seed was planted to start something that I saw if there was an opportunity to add value to the marketplace, hence provided 100,000 meals to the less fortunate. I didn't make a dollar off of that, but I saw an opportunity. And because of that opportunity, I figured, you know, if I could add value, why not? Why not? If I can. I think sometimes people say, I mean, there's two camps of that. It's like, could I add value? Yes. Okay. Yes. Do I want to pursue that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If yes, then go pursue it. If no, Well, then there's probably a second and third drop down menu of questions. It's right. Like, well, why not? Why not? It's too much cost, or it's a distraction from my priorities, or whatever it is. Why might I do it, pursue it? Right. So I think it's really a series of question asking of like, what are your priorities? What do you want? If someone's listening to this and they say, I just want to be safe. I just want safety. I want security. I don't want to have a lot of responsibility. Being an entrepreneur is a lot of responsibility. That's just not for me. Well, my curiosity on that is safety and security. How do you define safety and security? Mm-hmm. Because if we define security as I work for another company and they provide me a job until the job goes under, or the company goes under, or they lay you off. And now how secure is security? In fact, it's almost like imprisonment. If you really think about it, that's maximum security, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you're confined, your abilities to add value or do whatever is in your genius is based on another entity's control. So it's like, yes, we want security, but it's almost like traps us sometimes. So the best way to truly have the opposite of security, in my opinion, which is freedom, is by being in some sort of control or being in a position where you could decide on the fate of what you want. And not everyone is cut out to be in sales, but that's why sales is such a valuable skill for people to learn. Because if you know how to sell, change out the word sell for influence. If you could influence other people to your way of thinking, said differently, if I could transfer my beliefs and my emotions onto somebody else, well, that ability can be turned into solving problems in the marketplace, which turns into people will pay to solve problems, to have their problem solved. Again, loaded rant to the question. It's a relevant question. I don't know if it's nature or nurture, but I do know people have priorities. And if we really ask the appropriate questions, we chase it down and stay on the surface, but kind of get below the surface with our question asking. I do believe most people would like to be in control of their fate. And if that's the case, then there's probably a small piece of them that might want to create a side hustle or some sort of vehicle that's outside of like a job,
right?
That they can actually have some sort of influence over.
That may be the most unique insider perspective I've ever had anybody speak into that question. You literally, it's like you took the question and you kind of went to the next village over. You thought, you know what, I need to get a different language perspective, different cultural perspective on that question. And because I'm going to add some depth and breadth to that answer that I'm going to give you, because you're exactly right. I mean, I ask a very, you know, one-dimensional question, and you said, hey, this is a complex, you know, issue here. We're three-dimensional. We're not one dimensional. So
welcome to the world of hanging out with Mike Abramowitz.
I love that. But you're exactly right. I mean, and as you were talking, I'm thinking, you know, it's actually broader than probably how I frame that says it's not, you know, are you born with the genetic disposition to start businesses or whatever? Because really it's more about opportunity. It's more about seeing things that could change and can I make them better? And then deciding, should I do that? Should I not do that? I mean, it's like this continuous decision tree you were describing. But now you've had so many interesting, you know, little forays and different, you know, kind of a serpentine path you've taken here. Give me one or two really solid leadership, business owner, CEO-esque, you know, nuggets that are pretty, you know, agnostic, pretty generic, but it doesn't matter what business you're in. What are one or two things you've learned that you think these are gold for leaders in the business space?
Something I teach is we teach it called the Time Rich Six. So I know you're asking for two, but it's one thing, but it really has six pieces of it. The Time Rich Six is, I'll go through them real quick. Number one is boundaries. Number two is communication guidelines. Number three is systems. Number four is playbooks. Number five is team. And number six is tech. So the time reached six, if someone runs a business or in their leadership position and they want to have time freedom mm-hmm. in order to be able to spend their be in a leadership role where they're spending time on high value activities, this is the time reached six. So number one, boundaries. What do I mean by boundaries? Is what is your, what are the policies that you have for protecting your priorities? So what are the priorities that you have in your life and how do you protect those priorities with specific boundaries? And obviously we can unpack that in a lot of different ways, but you know, essentially how do you protect your time for what matters most to you? If someone says family is the most important, but yet they're scrolling on their phone and they're constantly distracted or in reaction mode constantly, it's like, well, there's no boundaries, which leads into number two, which is what are the communication guidelines? How do you want people to get your attention? How, like, what are the parameters? So if it doesn't matter who, whether it's family or friends or clients or prospects, like what are the communication guidelines? What is the rules of engagement for an email? What are the rules mm-hmm. for a text? What are the rules for a call? What are the rules for hopping on a Zoom session? So it's like, what are the rules of engagement for how people get your attention? Then number three is systems. The way we define a system in our company at Better Than Rich is a system is a series of processes, policies, and technologies that aid in the goal of the business. We define a process as a series of if-then statements. So a process is if-then statements. So if someone wants my attention, then this is how I want them to get in contact with mm-hmm. me. So really creating very clear parameters and processes for the if-thens. So we would break down the four pillars of a business, which is attract, convert, onboard, and retain. And attract would be like lead gen, attracting talent or attracting clients. Mm-hmm. A convert would be like sales or hiring, depending if it's talent or clients. Onboarding would be onboarding talent or clients. And retaining would be retaining your talent, like consistent meetings and communication, and retaining your clients, like lifetime value of clients, like ascension offers and adding value to them so they stay with you. So it's each of those four pillars of your business need its own series of if-thens,
right,
depending on, you know, the system that you're building out, which ties into the playbooks, which is the policies. So remember, a series of processes, policies, technology. So the playbooks are the policies. Playbooks are what are the resources that we are using inside those if-thens. For example, if someone emails me, my virtual assistant has a process of how does this person get a response? What is the play for responding to this person? Mm-hmm. That has its own play.
Right.
Then there's another one. If like someone had, if a client wants to book a call with me, this is the playbook for that client to book a call with me. This is the actual like how to's on the steps of how to do that. As an example, hundreds of playbooks. You think about every play in football has its own play. That's everything that happens in your life. You want to try to create as many of those plays as possible. Then the team and the tech are pretty much, the team is the who is executing the play. And then the technology is what tool or are they using to execute it? Like a Calendly, or are we using like a learning mm-hmm. management software like Thinkific? Are we using a project management tool like a ClickUp or a CRM like a Go High Level, right? So it's just like, what are the technologies? Right. How are we using AI? AI has been a huge factor of that, because sometimes they need to use my tone and my writing style. So the VA or the team will go into my writing style into AI so they could respond to my email. So it sounds like me, it's in my tone, although it's not done by me, as an example. So pairing the team with the tech, making sure that they know what the SOPs and the processes are and the playbooks and the systems, and obviously having the communication guidelines and the boundaries. All of this is enveloped into what we call the time rich six to help truly have time freedom. And I know it's obviously, I just broke down like 12 years worth of I'm like really teaching this stuff, maybe more, even more, into like a few minutes, but that is what I pride myself in. I mean, I spent, you're right, years of figuring out what has given me the freedom. In 2023, I took 9 full weeks off without technology, a full 3-week road trip with our family. We went on a Disney cruise. I took 2 dad retreats, I mean, 9 full weeks without technology. So it's like, how did I do that while also making sure that we moved, we had freedom. I spent a lot, $30,000 on personal growth. And I still was able to save $100,000 last year. How was I able to do this where I have profits and time freedom and helping our community and doing the things that matter most? We helped over 100 families last year too. Like, how do we do this? It comes from intentionality, but you got to have that time freedom piece. And that's why, all right, how can I systemize what it means to be time free? Right. And that's kind of what I just broke down for you. Again, very high level, but yeah, there's lots to unpack there. And by the way, for you, for anybody that's listening, I'd love to give a gift for anybody if they wanted to break that down for them. What I'm doing right now is I'm actually doing free 90-day delegation plans for anybody who wants to hop on my calendar. This is sitting down with me. I'll give you a 25-page workbook called a time audit workbook to help you figure out what your time is worth, to also help you figure out what are the low-value tasks that we want to offload, and figure out your delegation plan for you, build out some boundaries for you. And probably about 30, 40 minutes with me. I'd love to do that. I'm getting a lot of energy from doing this. And you could, they can go to betterthanrich.com/90-day plan. That's 90-day plan. betterthanrich.com/90-day plan. Okay. And you'll book a call, delegation planning session with me, and we'll map all this out for you on a call. And then at the end of the call, if like, once you have everything that you like, man, I want to get all this offloaded, if it makes sense for our team to handle offloading, you want to offload all that stuff to our team or your team, it doesn't matter. But if you want to use our team, then I could show you what it could look like for our team to just handle all this stuff for you with one click of a button. And then boom, not only do we strategize what you want to get delegated, but we can also take care of all of that for you. And that's what I'm doing right now. It's giving me tons of energy and it's helping a ton of people. It's a lot of fun.
The things that you're saying, I mean, you're generating so many questions in my mind that I have other follow-up questions I want to follow up with. But I do want to, I want to close with asking you to, you know, kind of wrap up. Where's, other than the link, where's another good places to find you, learn more about the resources you have? But I've got a question for you, because it's so easy in today's world to look at things in a very competitive way. So what is your mindset when you are working with people that are in the same space that you're in? Even when you're coaching, you got somebody that's calling you on your 90-day, you know, plan link that's doing exactly what you're doing. How do you respond to that, to them? You know, you've heard the growth mindset versus limited mindset. You know, I'm sure Tony Robbins touches on it, and everybody else in that space, you know, touches on it. What is your personal view in that realm?
My personal view is we're all in this together. So my view is, if you're doing the, if you're driving the same car as me, awesome. I want to try to help you drive that car faster if I can. I want to make sure you know what I know about that car. And if there's something that I can learn from you about how you're driving the car, if you're driving it better than me, that's all business is. Business is a vehicle. So even though, like, you know, using Tony Robbins' example, there was a piece of me when I was entering into this space where it's like, well, if anybody wanted to learn what they needed, they could just go to Tony. But to get Tony to sit down with someone to map out their business stuff, hundreds of thousands of dollars, million dollars. And there's like a 26-year wait list to get an hour with Tony Robbins. So it's like, I'm not Tony, but however, someone can get my time and my attention and I could get them to the next step in their journey. And it would be abundant for me at a price point, and it would also be extremely helpful for them to have a lot of handholding during their journey. So it's like, we're in this together. You know, I learn, we learn together, we grow. So if your avatar is identical to me, your business model is identical to me, it's the exact same vehicle, the same exact, I'd probably push back and say there's probably a little nuance. There might be small, unique abilities that that your offer has that mine doesn't, or vice versa. So I would try to collaborate as much as possible with that person and be able to add value to one another.
Love that. I was training probably more in the same vertical than I was, you know, that your exact mirror images of each other. But
Sure. And then if
I
it's
yeah,
similar,
appreciate
if it's
that.
similar vertical, and if it's a similar avatar, different product, that's where partnerships. We have
Yep.
partnerships all with lots of different companies
Yep.
that were strategic partnerships. We send people to them, and they send people to us. So for example, like we have a partnership with a real estate investor. Our business owners buy back time and they get all this money from their business. They want to put that money in capital to work. Great. Go to this guy and then his
Yep.
clients in his room, they're like, yeah, we have all this money, but we're stuck in our business and we want our business to run more efficiently. Great, go to this company, right?
Yeah, I
So
love that.
similar avatar, but different, you know, different vehicles. So there is some cross, you know, cross collaboration that could take place. But I would highly recommend this scarcity mindset of, oh, there's not enough people in the marketplace. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want people stealing my stuff. It is so, it is, you have no idea where you're going to be in 10 years from now, 5 years from now,
Yep.
1 year from now. It is so critical to keep in mind that a we mentality is more powerful than a me mentality. Be a servant leader to the industry, to the marketplace, to the people. I promise you, it's going to come back to you. If it's not in dollars, maybe it's going to come back to you in social capital. Maybe it's going to come back to you in referrals. Maybe it's going to come back to you in some way, shape, or form. But don't play scarcity play to protect your resources where you're at now, because where you're going to be in the future is unpredictable. So just add
Yep.
value to everyone you can.
Great answer. Great answer, Mike. Man, I appreciate you taking time today. This has been great. There, like I said, there we could have just gone on all afternoon and I could have just continued to ask you questions. And I hope, hey, we're just going to circle back and have you on again. But tell people other than the link, and thank you so much for that offer for our listeners and those that see this, but where else is the best place to find you online?
I mean, I'm all over the place, Mike
Yep.
Abramowitz and Better Than Rich. But I would say that link is probably the best place if they really want to get the most value in the quickest time. So if they want the most value in the quickest time, betterthanrich.com/90-day plan. But we do have like just betterthanrich.com has like our podcast and has a bunch of like resources on there, which is a great place. But with what I'm doing right now, if you want the most value in the shortest period of time to really get some integration versus just information or education, that's why I'm doing it, because I practice what I preach. Like I don't want to just, here's a bunch of stuff you can learn on YouTube from other people. Like I don't want to just blend in. I want to have our differentiator, and our differentiator is let's give you a ton of value in a short period of time so you can get a feel of what it really means to implement and integrate, not just learn.
You know, the old adage, the best professors are the practitioners. So you certainly are living this out, the things you're teaching. But man, thanks again for just taking time. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and insights and history and perspective, and just really I want to thank you for playing your part in helping all boats rise in a rising tide. Mike, have a great afternoon.
You do the same, Kevin.
I hope you heard some great takeaways from our guests today. Make sure you reach out to them and thank you again for playing your part in helping all boats rise in a rising tide.